Hello and welcome to WTM Insights Podcast. Destinations and travel businesses around the world are making great efforts to attract a larger share of China's outbound travellers, but connecting to the Chinese market isn't always easy and can need time, effort and money. In this unmissable session from digital marketing and solutions agency Dragon Trail Interactive from the WTM, we learn the basics of Chinese digital marketing for SMEs, as well as how tourism boards can support SMEs to connect to Chinese travellers and the Chinese travel trade.
Two colleagues from Ctrip, Ken Xu, who is the CEO of Ctrip Customized Travel, and Charles Liu, who is the director of Europe Ctrip TTD, which I think means things to do. Rather nice name. And then we have a company called Hui Zhu Zhi, and as all of you, I'm sure, speak Chinese, so you all know that that means renting car. So Mr. Yi Liu will talk to us about this new company. And then we have Jeremy Abbott, another Gaubitzer, talking about the development of UnionPay, one of the major players in the payment for quite some time. And we will try to be brief, everybody, so that at the end there's also some time left for Q&A, for some questions from the audience. And I will ask all the speakers after they finish their talk to sit here, so we can also have some more space for you while we're doing this, not for us, but for you. So very briefly from my side, a quick update on the Chinese outbound tourism development. So the organizer, just to say it briefly, is CORTRI, the China Outbound Tourism Research Institute, which exists since 15 years, and I'm the proud founder and director of that. We are located in Hamburg in Germany, and of course in China, and you can see we are affiliated with quite a number of global organizations. For myself, sufficient to say that the first time I was in China is 40 years ago, quite some time, and things have changed dramatically ever since. I used to be a tour operator myself in the 1990s, bringing Chinese delegations to Europe, and that was still something very unusual. And I'm also a professor at the German University, and here for the UK to say I'm a proud fellow of the Royal Geographical Society, with Queen Elizabeth II being our boss. So you have seen things like that before. The China outbound tourism is growing and is going strong. We have about 160 million border crossings this year. And the good news is, if you look at the red and the blue, you can see red means trips ending in Greater China, so just going to Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan, whereas the blue means going beyond. And if you see the last few years, clearly the biggest growth is in trips which go beyond Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan, so going, for instance, to Europe. So, and 2018 was quite a good year, so for the first half year, we see a growth of about 16%. The official Chinese number is 15%, so we are very close together here. And for the second half year until now, it has continued like that. So after a little dip where the growth rates were single digit in 16 and 17, so this year we are back to double digit numbers. And looking into the future, I think that's why so many people are here, very simply. So our forecast is that by 2030, we will come close to 400 million travels, which means 250 million travels more than we have now. And so, which will mean that in 2030, we have 1.8 billion forecasted global international travels forecasted by UNWTO, so that about 20%, so one out of five international travelers will come from mainland China. So barring any black swan events or something like that. So therefore, obviously, it is important to know about this market. So very briefly, six trends in the Trans-Alpine tourism we can see. And already from these pictures, I think the number one trend to understand is that the Chinese outbound market and the Chinese outbound traveler does not exist anymore. So you can see on these pictures, families, affluent, best ages, older people, honeymoon trips, this lady doing skydiving in Auckland, some older folks going on a nostalgic red tourism trip in Moscow. So there are a lot of different things to do, a lot of different reasons for Chinese while they are traveling. So we see a ongoing segmentation of the market. And we see that still the majority is coming from the main centers, Beijing, Shanghai, Guangdong, and more and more also now from Sichuan. So, but there is still a lot more to come. So only 10% of the Chinese have a passport. So only 5 or 6% of the Chinese have enough money to travel to Europe. But 75% say, if I would have the money, I would travel. So it is. I agree that this is improving my life quality and my happiness if I can travel. And travel means mostly internationally. So the only point keeping them is money, which is different, for instance, from the Indian market. So we have now almost as many Indians as we have Chinese, but there are 10 times more Chinese traveling than there are Indians traveling. So it can be somebody important in India without having international traveling experience, but you cannot be an important person in China without having international travel experience. So we see increased diversity also in the age groups. We have more kids traveling, more schools, more summer schools, and we have more older people traveling. So older means 60 plus. So people who have been earning money and working hard for the last 25 years and now are in semi-retirement and have more time and money to travel. Second trend, very important. Well, this is China, so everything is politics. We see that from the old idea of Tao Guang Yang Hui, of develop but keep a low profile, we are now in a new era, as Mr. Xi Jinping has been saying, where China is taking center stage in the world. So we see this also in the form of new institutions. So in March this year, half a year ago, China for the first time started a ministry of tourism, so Ministry of Culture and Tourism. Before, we just had an administration. Now this has been upgraded to a ministry. And also we have the World Tourism Cities Federation. So after our event, the next one will be held by the WTCF. I'm inviting you to this one also. I'm a member of the expert committee. They become very, very active. And last year, the World Tourism Alliance was started in Hangzhou. And so they're building a big new office building in Hangzhou to house this one. So China is putting a lot of effort into being heard also in tourism globally with WTCF, with WTA. The third trend is still ongoing from quantity to quality. So we still have, of course, a lot of package tourists who come here only so they can say afterwards, I have been here, and they don't care much about quality. But we have a bigger and bigger segment of the market where people say, I want to have quality for money. I'm willing to spend money, but then I want to have products which are adapted to our needs, to our special interests. And this is a learning process for both sides. The travelers from experience learning more and more, what do I like? Do I like a Sheraton or do I like a bed and breakfast? Do I like an Airbnb or do I like a boutique hotel? So what I want to do. So they know from trying things out what they do. And of course, many of the tour operators, many of the attractions, many of the DMOs, of course, are learning how to offer them good quality for service. Next trend to mention is it becomes easier and easier for Chinese to travel. And it becomes almost now normal that you can travel either without a visa or with an e-visa or a visa on arrival or a multiple entry visa where you only have to go once through the process. And we have, even in Europe, we have some countries like Serbia, Albania, Bosnia Herzegovina, where already you don't need a visa anymore. And of course, their number of arrivals have been going up by 500% or 800% or what. Or in North Africa, Tunisia, Morocco, most of the Caribbean islands, many of the neighboring countries in China, so you don't need visa anymore. So it becomes easier for Chinese to spontaneously travel, to travel more like we are used in the Western world, that you decide on Thursday evening, how about we spend the weekend in Vietnam. You can do this now. So this is changing, changing the game. And in the same line is we have more and more air connections. So we have air connections connecting second-tier airports in China with second-tier airports in other places in the world. So in September, we did a road show in Chongqing, and we had to fly back from Chongqing in Sichuan to Hamburg. So there's a direct flight from Chongqing to Helsinki by Finnair, and from Helsinki it's 1.5 hours to Hamburg. So 10 hours door to door, you can fly from Chongqing to to Hamburg without having to go through Shanghai or Beijing or something like that. So it gets much easier for Chinese, not only living in the first tier cities, to be connected and to travel. So you can see this is just a list of all the new connections. And the last one I want to mention, and then I want to give the stage to our Chinese speakers and to Chinese companies, is that we see that with the growing experience, of course, people have much more opportunities for intelligent choices, because the probability that you know somebody who knows somebody who has already been to that place and can tell you, is it safe? Are these people Chinese friendly? These are the two main questions always asked. Is it safe to go there and do they like us? So you can ask somebody. And also, of course, from our side, I think most of you have been discussing, do we need a WeChat channel? And do we, of course, we need a Chinese website? And do we need to, on the other end, accept Alipay and WeChat Pay and Union Pay? Because this is the other big trend, which is mobile payment, so that if you travel in China, cash is really no longer important. So many taxi drivers don't even accept cash anymore. And if you pay with cash in a shop, well, they will accept the cash, but they don't have change because you're the only person paying with cash. So we see this two developments, and we will hear about payments, of course, from Jeremy later in the next hour. So this is also helping to Chinese to make it easier to travel. So they have more air connections. They have less visa problems, they have more information. So all this is good news for everybody who has not an Eiffel Tower at home. So you can bring Chinese people to smaller destinations to offer unusual activities if you adapt your product right, if you do the right segmentation of your market. So that's all I want to say as a brief introduction. Just let me mention two things. So as you can see, so we publish as Quotri a weekly online newsletter, a little magazine called Quotri Weekly, which is free to subscribe to. And every 2 weeks, we publish a little video on YouTube together with Dragon Rail, where we have also Chinese travelers speaking themselves and talking about different aspects of Chinese outbound tourism. And the very last point, if you allow me, on the right-hand side, you can see we are preparing together with the Hong Kong Polytechnical University a online training, and there's some information here that also hopefully will be very useful on top of the very good face-to-face trainings we're already doing for the industry. With this, again, thank you for you all to spend an hour of your time at the fair here. But of course, first, most of all, thank you for our speakers who have come all the way from China to be here with you. And with that, may I ask Kane to come up and give us the first presentation.
Hello. I was informed that I will be speaking totally in English 3 days ago. So, you know, my English is not my native. I only argue with my son's teacher use English because his teacher is from British, UK. So I'm so sorry if I can't let you know the very details. We can discuss after the meeting. Okay, my name is Ken. Actually, my Chinese name is Xu Zhiyun. This is hard, very difficult for you to pronounce it, so I prefer you call me Ken. This is from my Canada professor, named by a Hollywood famous movie, The Citizen Ken. And thank you very much, Dr. Wolfgang, to invite me to be here to show some new directions of the Chinese tourism market. Now, my department names Customized Travel. For this new department, officially launched 3 years ago. Because today is a short, very short time, only 10 or 15 minutes. I cannot explain very details about that. Actually, I have worked in travel agents for over 20 years. But I think my demands not be fulfilled for a long time, because for me, I have no time to find some packages online. You know that? I have no time. And otherwise, I don't want to go attend a group. Because for Chinese market, for a long time, we to be joined a group which is 20 to 80 ages in the same, exactly the same group. I have to wait the old ladies and yes, but you know, this for me is very hard. So I discuss with my friends, maybe what is your travel habits? They said, I found the consultant who is working travel agent. They can give me some direction and give me the whole itineraries. So I think maybe this is a market, right? This is a new market, not for the group, not go with the package. So we built this platform. These two pages, actually, Professor Dr. Wolfgang already told you that Chinese market is very big, the demands are changing, the travel habits is changing a lot. Our Chinese people now not only book an itinerary by groups, only the other people are booked online in customized travel. Because we are platform, we have more than 5,000 travel consultants on my platform. They are totally work in the travel agents. They're your staffs, not mine. I have no consultants by my own. Are you understand me? So this market, you see, the customized travel is between the FIT and the groups. Our target market is middle class up, just like me. I have annually travel plans, and I have my cost to pay for the whole itineraries, and I have little kid. I have only one. And I have older present parents. So I have to in charge of this whole three generations itinerary for during a year. It's very hard to me to do that. And sometimes I lost something. Maybe the tickets, maybe the very details of the accommodation, and they complain me. You work in travel agents, then you do this kind of job. Okay, then forget it. I found the consultants on my own platform. So, small private groups with tailor-made itinerary and activities. The consultants can solve all the problems for this middle-class up clients. They find hotels, they give them travel advices, and even choose the destinations for them. And very key point is no hidden costs. You know some shopping groups in Chinese market? I ask all the consultants have to separate all the details quotations to the clients. So this is our customer profile. They have a spending power and quality is important. This is already achieved my own dream. You know, travel plan is, and now I click. All the business is can do it online. Even my consultants, they can in charge of all the orders online by mobile phone. And my customer also use the mobile phone and talking with them in our inner talking machine, just like I am, just like WeChat. You know WeChat? WeChat is very good. You know, instantly a conversation machine. And for our platform, this is the easy to use platform for our clients. And if you want to know the background, the consultants, how to work, after meeting, we can talk later for more details. Because now I'm here to invite the suppliers amongst you, because I want to invite more powerful suppliers who have the resource integration capacity during whole world. Because I give the orders direct to our suppliers. No, you know, just like the old way, the local, the Chinese, some agents give the order to you and you give the order to the Chinese agent. After that, they give the plans. Also complicated. No. We give the clients direct to you. You in charge of their itineraries and details. And this is our customizer platform. So for about our volume, GMV, this year, 2018 will be $600 million. And per order is $5,200 per order. Much more, much higher than the common groups. And middle class is now totally base. The database is 230 million and above. This market is very big. So this page is so Mr. Liu, you want to talk something? Because this gentleman is our the director of our technology department. So this is use of database, big data. So we're ruling the numbers and the A/B testing to match, because all the consultants, they have labels, you know, different destinations, they got different labels. You cannot imagine a consultant who work in European, they can be in charge of the Phuket Island, right? The Phuket Island consultants, their label is Phuket and Thailand. So this order will direct in their pools, they can find the orders and click it to catch it. And all the price is bidding. They can, the clients, maximum can find three consultants to serve him or her in the same time. And the bigger, the better price will win. You know that. This is a bidding system. So our platform actually made the rules. And the itinerary making and the whole details of about the schedules were worked by our suppliers. Okay, this is rapid growth in customer orders, 20, 200,000 this year per month. Very big, you can imagine. So if you want to know some details, after the meeting, you can talk about these details later. So, okay. Right now, we have 1,500 suppliers on my platform and more than 5,000 and at your service. Even this low season, this month is for Chinese low season, we still have more than 3,000 orders per day. So this is very attractive business marketing. So if you have interest in with this kind of type, welcome to me to talk about later. Okay, that's my presentation today. I hope you totally or partly understand. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, hello everybody. I'm Charles Liu from C-Trip Things to Do department, and Things to Do is mainly for tourist attraction tickets or activities. So, before I started, may I ask a question? Maybe how many of you have the interest in doing Things to Do business outbound China? Please raise your hand. Okay, so many. And maybe how many of you already have some kind of Chinese-speaking guide in your team or a Chinese-speaking tour guide? Please raise your hand. Okay, not so much. Okay, so, all right, maybe you will met some problems when you are exploring Chinese market because of the language. So today, let me tell you about the benefits for C-Trip Things to Do, Go Abroad. Go globally to help our global partners. I will go for three main parts. What have we done and what have now and what we'll do better. So let me firstly briefly introduce about the Things to Do for C-Trip. The whole market for online Things to Do gross bookings are expected to double to $27 billion in 2020. So it's really a potential market, a huge market. And also for C-Trip Things to Do now, it's present to over 1,000 cities and over 100 countries with more than 100,000 products within 25 categories. And now we have over 80% of our bookings have the instant confirmation and 70% of our bookings have e-ticket. For the 2018, the first three quarters, the Things to Do department for C-Trip always enjoy a triple-digit growth rate for the last three quarters. So right now, today I want to talk about, because we are still sticking to our effort on Chinese market as always, because it's really a big market, and meanwhile, we would extend more on the language platforms to help serve our global customers worldwide on a trip.com. It's a C-Trip company. So already now we have already launched a traditional Chinese platform and English sites this year, and we were trying to focus on more and more language like Thai, French, and lots of different language. So maybe you have a question how we could help with our global partners to help collaborate with C-Trip and trip.com to generate and benefit more. And maybe I can start with the benefit from our global partners that how can you benefit from the C-Trip and the trip.com both? Because these are already that the functions or the things we have on C-Trip. The first one is that we have the traffic and the precise marketing. Because right now, in contrast to other platforms that selling tourist activities only, because C-Trip and trip.com is a platform that one-stop solution, because we have already a large customer base amount of the flights and hotel. Right now, from our own analysis, the amount of flight sold, tickets sold in trip.com and C-Trip already ranked the first. And we have found that over 50% of the customers who buy hotels or flights on trip.com, they have the request for Things to Do products. So, and also because we have like a one-stop solution and virus and the competitive products on our platform, and with the precise marketing based on big data model, we are sure that we can optimize the sales for our customers and our partners. And for the second part, our advantage will be some kind of channels. Because of channel, I think maybe you already know that Ctrip has a big traffic for B2C platform already. And right now, we will start to do B2B always. For distributions, we have already do lots of things on the offline stores and many other platforms and the distributors. Ctrip has now over 7,000 offline stores, and we already cooperate with many distributors in China. So multiple channels covers more customers' requests and will help our partners to enjoy more and benefit more with cooperation with Ctrip. So, and for the third part, I think the advantages right now we have is the partnership that it's easy to get partnership with Ctrip and Trip.com because we now will still focusing on the increasing coverage and to ensure our products worldwide and to cater to the growing demand of our customers. So, we would choose the suppliers with best price and best services as well as some the business license and the insurance to guarantee the benefit of our customers. So advantage that the standard and procedure goes in the same way with Ctrip and Trip.com. So which means that you cooperate with Trip.com, you cooperate with both. So maybe this is also an advantage. And later, maybe I can talk to you about the future, what we can do to benefit more. The first thing is that we will focus more on the local sourcing. Maybe next year or this year, we will start to have more dedicated local staff to get most charming resources locally. And I think already right now, we have some kind of strong competitive products, especially in APAC regions like China, East Asia, or Southeast Asia. So we will continue to do this, do more and dig out deeper. So maybe for the channels, we gather with Trip, Ctrip, and offline, online, and we will have a one-stop solution. Maybe we can help our global partners like you. Maybe we will have more benefit on this. This is the first part that we will do more to help you guys to benefit more. And the second part for the services, because Ctrip always very highlight for service. Tourism is one of the most service-oriented industry. And Ctrip has a customer service center now and a customer service department for over 15,000 people and have a call center in and out of the country. So in addition to right now, we have the Asian single largest call center in Nantong. Ctrip has also a call center in Seoul in South Korea and Edinburgh. So right now, currently, they have already enjoyed the same standard service in overseas service center, which offers language in 14 different languages like French, German, Thai, Korean, Japanese, and so on. So we will continue to focus more on the services to help you to ease for the to serve better for the customers. And last for because for Ctrip, we always very highlight for the innovation for each business unit. And for example, maybe I will talk about the a local tour guide. It's a very popular youngsters right now. It means that maybe we will also have a regulation that we can recruit tiny partners or maybe even individuals cooperate with who can provide local destination services. Maybe I can tell a story here because right now, recently, there was a very famous girl and she's in Hangzhou. He works as a tour guide. He's a local tour guide. And because when I was young, my mom always tells me that you need to work hard and earn more money and save more money. One day, you will have the opportunity to buy a house for your own in China because it's a little bit difficult. But this girl, because she's beauty and she is very charming and she works as a local tour guide and just work with us. And because she always smiling and tell great stories and tailor-made tours and everything is perfect. So she just make this own and he buy two apartments by herself. Wow. Yeah, this is a story that a post-90 girl, beautiful girl, she works as us and make kind of successful. And another maybe innovation for us is like we also have the virtual team manager, or it can say like it's a virtual tour group leader. It's kind of services that Ctrip provide to our customers with the similar or close flights. They will gather in a group, and then we will talk to them that in this group, maybe they will ask for local attractions or guidance, looking for cruisings, or find some like new friends to go together, and then maybe even seek for help when they meet troubles. So this is also very interesting among right now the market, and we can provide to our customers and benefit for our partners. And we will always embrace for the innovations for decades. Okay. So maybe to sum up, we could strengthening our advantage now, like the traffic, process marketing, channel partnership, and also dig more on local sourcing, service, and innovation. So in a word, Ctrip thinks you would love to share experience from China outbound to help benefit more for our global partners. Thank you very much indeed, and feel free to email me if you have any questions and interests. Thank you.
So from two presentations from one of the biggest players in the market, we come now to a new company, Huizhuzhi. So we will hear, so how can you start a company, please, in this market still and be successful there? So please, Mr. Leo.
And my English name is Yi, and the same, and Yi is in Chinese means to be number one. Okay. So actually, I just gave a very brief introduction about Huizhuzhi.com. So it's a pretty like Chinese-oriented company. And I used to work for Ctrip. Yeah. So I used to be one of the key persons who set up the car rental department for Ctrip. And then, you know, we came out, we set up another brand, Huizhuzhi.com. But today, we are still the supplier for Ctrip. So we still work together. Okay. So actually, Huizhuzhi is a startup company. We have been running in China for 4 years. But you know that 4 years in China means a lot. A lot of changes, a lot of innovations, and also the big changes on the behaviors, traveling behaviors. So that's why, you know, today I really want to share this topic with you about the new trend for China outbound current market. So as you can see, like, as a startup company, why we choose the overseas market? We do like think about it, you know, for quite a long time. But obviously, you can see the trend that now the Chinese people, right, the Chinese travelers, they are not really satisfied with the current life quality. They are eager to get the, you know, better life quality globally. So as you can see that they are not really satisfied with the environment, the education, the healthcare, and also like the traveling. So that's why, you know, it's not like before, because usually like in China, a lot of people, they only like spend the weekend or the holiday, like in the cities around China, around the city where they are born. But now it's totally different. Maybe they will spend a weekend in Japan. They will spend like a long-term holiday like in UK. That's very normal. So that's the trend. And at the same time, you can see that two kinds of products have been like booming up, especially in the FIT like market. One is we call it like the non-standard products. They can be the education, study, and healthcare. But at the same time, we also have another kind of product which is also booming up very quickly. That is the standard products can be the flights, it can be the hotels, and it can be the cars. So they are more or less comparably, they are standard. But what do we see that why the cars have played a very important role in the China outbound market? As you know that, like, Ctrip is really, really strong in the flights. The flights played a very important role in the ground, in the total like travel industry, because the flights can decide the traffic to different countries. If you have the flights, you have the customers. So that's why it's going to be very important. But still, we think it in another way. No matter which flights you are going to take from different channels, but once you arrive at the destination, the first service you are going to use, that car, it can be the shuttle bus, it can be the taxi, it can be the car rentals. So if you have the cars, let's think about it firstly. So in terms of the local activities, you are going to spend 5 days or 6 days, maybe in UK, in London. What are you going to do? You are going for shopping. You are going to the restaurants. You are going to like try some local activities. But who is going to take you there? That's the cars. So sometimes the cars play a very important role in the connection, you know, among all the activities. That's why, you know, today we really focus on the ground transportation. But it's important for the future business expansion. That's very important. So if we look at the cars, okay, so if we look at one group of customers, so they arrive at London, at UK, they are going to spend 7 days traveling here. As you can see, the car service, they use it every day. So we can see that at the specific destination, the car service is the high efficiency, high frequency. At the same time, they have the high demand. So that's why we see that in terms of the destinations, in terms of the traveling, it's very important. I believe many of you are not very familiar with the China outbound market in terms of the self-drive. I can tell you that maybe I used to work for Hertz. Actually, I spent 1 year working in London before in the Hertz Europe headquarters in Uxbridge. And at that time, very few Chinese people, you know, can rent a car overseas. And even at that time, you know, very few people can rent a car in China because the market is, you know, needs to be allocated. But only a few years later, you know, a lot of Chinese people are using the WeChat. So especially during the China national holiday, the long-term holiday, if you look at the WeChat, you know, a lot of, you know, friends, they are going to share their overseas self-drive photos in WeChat. So that's why we see that the market is coming. It's here. So if we think further, if they do self-drive, what is they going to do? The self-drive is only one way of traveling. They definitely is going to experience more. They're going to experience more local activities. They experience more like local restaurants, not the restaurants only for the travelers. So the market is different. So I can see that that's still the opportunities for the companies like us, because we really focus on the vertical market. We are not a big OTAs. And also for the, I think also look very good for the local operators, because they really target the Chinese outbound customers. They have the pinpoints. It's not like the group customers. Okay, so if we look at the China overseas, the car rental business, so now Huizhuche is one of the leading brands in China. So actually, if you look at the Chinese, they do have the pins. The pins should be like, the first thing is, okay, whether like this country accept the Chinese driver license. The second one is, which company I should choose. You know, in each destination, so we have a lot of car rental companies to choose. Which one should be best for me? Okay, they are not very familiar with the local traffic rules. You know, in China, we drive on left. In UK, we drive on the right. So that's the difference. And also, because of language barriers. So if you get any accidents, you don't know what we can do, you don't know how to communicate, that's going to be problems. So with all these problems, that's why we can exist like Huizhuche, because we provide the total service solution for the customers. So as you can see, this is the core business model for Huizhuche. So in the core, as you can see, that's the resource. Okay, for all the travel operators, we really focus on the resource, the same like us. Okay, in terms of the resource, now we have been integrating more than 300 car rental companies globally. But we see 300, but they're different. The first tier will be the Hertz, Avis, all the global brands. The second tier will be the local leading brand. For example, in Australia, that's the East Coast. Like maybe in New Zealand, that's the Juicy. That's the local brand. But for the third tier, that's very, very interesting. You know, in many like cities, there are so many middle-sized and small-sized car rental companies. And many of them, they have the Chinese-speaking staff. But the big problem is they have the cars. They can provide the service, but they don't have the system. So the efficiency of the operation sometimes is low. So what we can do is we provide a car rental management system for all these middle-sized and small-sized car rental companies, so they can manage the vehicles, so they can manage the bookings. So this way, we can integrate many car rental companies in a short time with our service standard. So that's a very important thing. Okay, besides the resource, another very important thing is the service. So on top of the resource, we really focus on the service, but this is not one service, this is a service solution, total solution. You know, for the car rental, usually like for the basic, like the average rental days would be 7 days or 8 days. It's a long time. So for in terms of the planning, in terms of the pickup, in terms of like the on the ways and after sales, they have a lot of issues, like the traffic ticket, like the accidents happens, how to go through the insurance claiming procedures, and how to communicate with the staffs at the counter if something happened. So we set up the service for these customers. That's what we do. So right now, Huizhuzhou has been able to provide the service globally, but we really focus on the Chinese outbound. Because we know Chinese customers very well, and we try to connect the world with the Chinese travelers. That's what we do. But this is the current status. But in the future, for Huizhuzhou will be a platform based on the ground transportations, but we're going to connect the different consumer behaviors locally. So that's why, you know, we come here, we want to find the partners, not only for car rentals, and also for the local traveling packages or different activities. That's okay, that's my sharing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's very, very interesting. So you can see that the companies following the customers, I think this is a very good example that you can see that in many ways now the Chinese companies are going where their customers are going, but that is not necessarily a threat. It can also be a offer for cooperation, as I think Mr. Liu has shown us. So we come to the last presentation. Jeremy, can you come up? Where we will talk about UnionPay, because payment systems are obviously still a key topic. And after that, we will see that we have a few minutes also that you get the opportunity to have a few questions to all the experts we have here. So, but first of all, Jeremy, please.
Thank you very much. My name is Jeremy Abbott, and I head up UnionPay International for the UK and Ireland. UnionPay is the payments brand from China, which everybody pretty much knows. I won't dwell on the trends we've seen, more people traveling from China. The fully independent traveler is now a much bigger share of the market than we previously had, 60%. And the key thing for us in terms of payments is fully independent travelers make their own payment decisions. They're not buying everything through an agent. They need to have choice. They need to know how they can make that payment. Outbound travel, more and more money is being spent all the time across a wider range of markets. And the other trend that I think is important, particularly when we're talking about innovation and technology and mobile phones, is that the travelers from China are getting younger. There's a greater increase in the second and third generations. The 36 to 45 year olds, the 18 to 25 year olds are a bigger share of the market. And the older, you know, my generation, still coming, still spending, but perhaps have done that first time experience, and it's now the younger taking over. In terms of how the money is being spent, we're seeing more and more money being spent on discretionary travel and discretionary tour purchase, not just through a travel agent, but actually people making local decisions and booking direct with the airline, direct with the car rental booking firms, direct with the hotels. Still plenty of shopping and retailing going on, but we're seeing more and more money being spent. Nearly half of all money is being spent on travel and travel-related spending. Just looking at the UK, because this is one of my markets, you probably can't see the numbers there, but what we're actually seeing is a shift in spend from, you know, the traditional Chinese purchases of luxury goods, jewellery, branded fashion, towards travel, hotels. Just in the summer of this year, we were over 60% up on hotel spend in the UK on the UnionPay card from China. That shows how much we're seeing there. Restaurants is another big sector. Tour attractions, also big sectors, so we're seeing fast growth. I won't dwell on this because we've seen some of the data before, but the point has been made, we're not just seeing travel from the tier one cities, we're also seeing it from the tier two and tier three. Still a bias towards flying from Shanghai, but with new routes coming into Europe from all over. I'm seeing great excitement in Dublin, for example, with the flight that's coming in from Beijing to Dublin. We're seeing huge traffic going on there. there's real growth happening in the market. I mentioned age and what people are doing. I think that one of the key things to say is when people are making choices about how to spend their money in Chinese, some of the Western websites, particularly when you come to things like the railways and car hire, they're too complicated, it's too difficult to understand, so there is a need of localization and familiar ways of being able to make the payment. A little bit about UnionPay International. People think of us, oh, we're just China. Actually, we're issued in 50 countries outside China, including Hong Kong, a lot of the Asian markets. We're accepted in 150 countries. We've got over 1.5 million ATMs outside China, 21 million merchants. And just by sort of way of comparison, people are sort of thinking about things, in Europe alone, we've got 3.5 million merchants. And we only started 9 years ago. So kind of we've already got around 60% of all merchants in Europe. And in parts of Europe, UnionPay is now almost 100% acceptance. Key to the travel sector and key to part of our growth is our global e-commerce acceptance. We work directly with some of the biggest names in global payments provision. You'll know the names like Worldpay, Wirecard, and some of the others that we have in terms of acceptance. They all accept the UnionPay card or allow the acceptance of the UnionPay card or other forms of UnionPay payment across the network. We've got over 10 million merchants now accepting some form of e-commerce with us globally. The key sectors for e-commerce, as you would expect, travel is right up there. Whether it's an online travel agent, a service like Airbnb, taxi service like Uber, whatever it is, it's all there in terms of travel, as well as shopping. Education was mentioned earlier. People wanting to come for education, we see huge demand from paying for education, as well as all the digital goods and digital services you might want to buy. Particularly iTunes Store and all those sorts of things. Airline, we've got over 40 airlines. In fact, I think it's now gone up to nearly 50 airlines globally are accepting UnionPay online and also at their check-in desks and whatever to allow people to pay for UnionPay cards. When people promote the acceptance of UnionPay through the airline, they see actual massive growth in terms of the amount of spend that's being made. Again, addressing this discretionary spend point. Again, hotels, travel agency, good demand through, if you like, the online travel agents driving hotel chains. One of the things UnionPay is doing is we're working with the big hotel brands to make sure that the UnionPay is welcomed both online and also when the guest is there in person at the hotel chain, and we'll also get some extra value and extra benefits from being a UnionPay cardholder or a UnionPay payment user globally. One of the things we have had to recognize in terms of payments development, particularly talking about these fully independent travelers, the growing presence of e-commerce and the increasing youth of people using payments methods, is we've had to innovate. Phase one is really all been about everything we all know about, contactless payment cards, getting remittances, doing basic e-commerce. The second phase, which we're heavily into now, is around the stuff that we all read about, the mobile wallets, the QR code payments, business-to-business payments as well. So this is businesses paying for things as they go, new forms of authentication such as biometrics. These are the things that are coming forward. UnionPay has worked very hard in terms of developing a mobile wallet, which is now available and being used by a lot of issuing banks. It may not look like a UnionPay wallet, it may be called a UnionPay wallet, but a lot of issuing banks are actually using the UnionPay wallet as a means of making payment. A wallet is just a means of storing your payment details on your phone in an app or actually in a secure area on the phone. And that allows the phone to be used for contactless, like NFC, mobile e-commerce, so in-app payment, money transfer, prepaid top-ups, information and so forth, and not last, marketing and rewards. And in particular, if you're doing tax-free shopping is a big area that we're able to do instant refunds now through the mobile app. UnionPay is available on all the biggest mobile schemes. We're the only card on Apple Pay in China, and we're looking to extend that globally. We're on Samsung Pay, and we're having huge success with Huawei Pay, which is a new one for us, particularly in Europe, where Huawei is getting a bigger and bigger size of the market. And conscious that, you know, we're nearly out of time, just talking about why UnionPay and why not WeChat Pay or Alipay or any of these other forms of payment, they're all great. You know, they're all there and they're all being used. What we're seeing with the QR code payment, though, is it's primarily a cash displacement service, not generally used for higher value transactions. So when you get above $100 equivalent, £100 equivalent, people still want to pay by card. They see that as safer. They understand how that works. And also, they can, if you're coming from China, you can spend everything you've got in your bank account without it counting against the foreign currency exchange rules. So again, it's a very good way of doing that. And they can pay online from their card, both when they're in China and when they're overseas as well. So it supports e-commerce. We also support near-field communication. That's when you tap your phone. We also have a QR code product, but it only really works in certain markets. Markets in Asia, QR code is there and it's building up. Markets in Europe have tended to use contactless payment and near-field communication. So you've only got to look at the London Underground. You're sure you're all tapping your Oyster cards, tapping your payment cards this morning. We're going to be doing the same thing with UnionPay cards in London. So that's going to be there as well by next year. So all of these are happening. So where some of the other payment types can support some of the payment environments, UnionPay is there for everybody, and everybody in China, over a billion cardholders and account holders are able to use UnionPay. So that's what we're doing, and we're working with the mobile companies to continue to grow our acceptance. Key message I want you to take away is flexibility in payment is everything. Payment is a utility, and the one thing you can do and have certainty of being able to use it everywhere you want to use it, in the way you want to use it, whatever that message, for now, if you're coming from China and wider Asia, that is UnionPay. So thank you very much.
Okay, so if we get 5 minutes for a Q&A, you heard, I think, a lot of very interesting and fascinating presentations here, and now's your chance to ask the experts a few questions, please.
A question for UnionPay. You mentioned about the foreign currency limits that are tracked if you use Alipay or WeChat Pay, but that doesn't come into play for UnionPay?
UnionPay is regulated by the People's Bank of China. We have a license that allows cross-border the UnionPay card in most transaction categories to be used without a limit that counts towards the individual accumulation of that $50,000 equivalent foreign currency limit. So basically, if you have money in your current account, you can spend it. And we do see transactions in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, I've seen over 1.2 million is my largest transaction in pounds on a single card transaction. So that is possible. That's because we have the license from the regulators that allows us to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Please, the lady here in the front.
I wanted to ask, like, when it comes to the Chinese travelers, what is the first thing that they look for it when they want to travel? What is the reason for their travels? Wow. Like, especially to the Middle East, I would say. When they plan their travel,
Visa
is the first thing that. When it comes to the country offers, what would be the second? Like, for example, if you can just list me, like,
ticket. Second thing is ticket. First thing is visa. Air tickets is, you know, the biggest percentage of the total cost. You know that? Have to book.
You mean you're talking about the cost?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about more of an interest of travelers. Like, for example, some people would travel, let's say to UK, for example, okay, uh-huh. to buy luxury goods and to try their restaurants.
For okay. my department, the priority to come to UK is not restaurant and landscapes. Always be the education for their children. You know?
Okay.
The parents will check all the universities and the environment for their children's future. Then customized travel, they book, you know,
yeah.
they book order to the you half.
Okay.
50% is to go in abroad and go to UK to see the landscapes or the Big Ben, blah, blah, museum. But the other 50% is to check the environment. They will send their children to go abroad to some university in the future.
Okay, what about Chinese going to Dubai? What is the thing that attracts them?
Dubai is shopping.
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 Okay.
Shopping.
This is their number one.
And Dubai is a very good transit city for, you know, to stay one or two nights and transit to the other European country. And because Emirates and Abu Dhabi Airlines always offer the very good price for the Chinese people. Right?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for this question. I think what we tried to show in the last hour, I think all of us in different ways, that there is no simple answer. There is a question, what do the Chinese want? Doesn't make sense. because you talk about 150 million trips. So you will have to be more specific. We heard the increase of younger people, people with more or less travel experience. So all these special interests areas are coming. So the time where you could answer a question, what does the Chinese outbound tourists want, is over. This is like you ask, what do Europeans want? Well, the Norwegians and the Russians and the Portuguese, obviously they don't want the same thing. So this is the same with China. Only China is bigger than Europe. Okay, one last question.
My question is, because in China, if you speak about the social media marketing, it's very difficult for the European partners to get into the social media part to reach the Chinese, because everything is in WeChat. And actually what we use in Europe is Instagram and Facebook, and it's all banned. How do you have any idea how, for the partners in Europe, in order to reach the people? Because then we have to go through another Chinese company in China to open up a WeChat channel for us. And then there is like an intermediate that you have to use. Yeah. So it's very hard for, I don't know if it, is there anything that we can like reach the consumers directly instead of using an intermediate or a channel in between?
You want to
do you understand my problem?
Yeah. So maybe Charles, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, sure. Actually, because you mentioned that because China has very dedicated like social media platform like Weibo, WeChat,
yes,
or something, and
yes,
actually maybe have suggestions that you can cooperate with kind of maybe a more advertising now. Maybe you can try to cooperate with some platforms like Ctrip or some other like Weibo or yeah, some
okay
platform, because we have our own social and Weibo and platform, and we can help you to do this. And also because for us we are a one-stop solution, and we can give you the guide, and
okay,
we can have an article that can try to help you to propaganda and to reach more like more targeted customers on travel industry. So
yes,
maybe this is one solution for you, because maybe you can cooperate kinds of platforms that already very existing in the, yeah, yeah, the market.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank
okay
you. Thank
so
you.
So I'm afraid we are running out of time. We have to close the session. So a big yeah for all our speakers. Thank you very much for coming, and I wish you all a very successful and profitable fair. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to the panel for that fascinating insight into the Chinese outbound market. Don't forget to subscribe for free on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're using. You can just press play on the website and keep up to date with WTM Insights Podcast.